as a student at Colorado School for the Deaf and the Blind for 2 years, I had some interesting experiences. There were varying. The deaf could play sports, four sports, football, basketball, baseball, and track. And the blind could play football, one sport. And then later on, we invited some of the blind players into the deaf track team. And really, they could do it just fine. We joined together. And some of the blind could throw discus or javelin. And some who had a little bit of eyesight left could even run, like the 50 and 100-yard dash. And so the deaf invited them to join to play football. And really, it was mostly, and most of the time we were separated. So they, because they had their own dormitory, and the deaf had their own dormitories. And the classrooms were also separated. But we shared the same mealtime, the same dining room. And the deaf boys sat here, and the blind girls sat here, and the blind boys sat here, and the deaf girls sat over here. You remember that? Blind girls and deaf girls? Yes, everything was segregated at the Colorado school. For some months, she was there for 4 months, worked there. And we deaf felt sorry for the blind because they couldn't see beautiful things. They couldn't see the different colors, the wonderful flowers. The blind, on the other hand, felt sorry for the deaf. They said, well, they deaf, they miss these wonderful music. And they can't, I can't give up music for anything in the world. I just wouldn't give it up. So I didn't know about that because I've never heard music. It was an experience. We went to school in Idaho, State School for the Deaf. You know, we experienced being around the blind and learned a lot, but they also kept us separated, segregated. Has any one of you ever seen or heard about Helen Keller? How many of you have heard of Leslie Orton? Now, I have had the great honor of meeting him in Ohio, and he himself is deaf and blind, and has been that way since the age of 2. But from Helen Keller, I do not know why he was not as famous as Helen Keller. Because Helen Keller's family had a really rough time with her, as you have seen in the movie. You saw the various things that happened as she was growing up. He really was very fortunate to have had a family who struggled to help her grow up properly. Leslie Orton's parents just sent him off and abandoned him when he became deaf and blind at the age of 2. Abandoned him. So he became a ward of the state. And he moved into Ohio School for the Deaf and the Blind. And there he grew up. And he was a really intelligent man. He overcame all of, you know, just superseded and conquered all the deaf students. And he graduated from Ohio School for the Deaf. And then he went to a hearing college, not Gallaudet, a hearing, William College And he graduated with honors. And I had to ask him, how did you get through a year in college? You know, because you're double handicapped. And maybe I felt that he was blessed to have been dedicated, had dedicated friends and classmates who stayed with him through all those years, 4 years. And that's probably my best guess. But he graduated from college. And after he graduated, there was no jobs. And he was stuck. And really, it was sad. So he accepted the idea of moving home. And he informed the deaf in Westerville, Ohio, and he moved home. And that became his home from then on for the rest of his life. And he has done many things that are wonderful, that amaze me. Not only weaving on a loom, like you do downstairs. He's made many beautiful rugs. He canes chairs. He can type Braille. He can use a regular typewriter. He can... Many deaf and even some hearing refuse to believe that he can really use a regular typewriter. Could use a regular typewriter. So many of us asked to see. And he did. He typed right before my eyes. And I just went, wow. He typed. And I wondered when I would see a mistake, but he never made a mistake. And he could type whole pages like this and change. And it really changed me. But he just could not. Right? He couldn't see. So if he felt he made more than a few mistakes, he'd tear it out and toss it in the wastebasket and put in a new piece of paper and start over again. And then he got a nice letter. And, you know, I got a nice letter from him. It was in perfect English. I just couldn't believe it. How did he learn to type? Did he do it by feel, by touch? I don't know how he learned to type. I don't know if he learned to do it in Ohio. And even more wonderful, he knows people by feeling their hands, by touching their hands. He knew who he was talking to. And there were people in school, he hadn't seen them for 40 years. And when he came back, he felt their hands, and right away he'd remember that person by the touch of their hands. And it was just really amazing person. And also, he was a very wonderful Christian. He treasured the Bible, and he loved books. He had volumes and volumes of Braille scripture, just rows and rows of them. And 1 week after I left Ohio and moved to Seattle, the Lord called him home, and I was just really struck by that. He was over 70. Maybe did he go? Did you see his mother and father? Did he ever see his mother and father after they abandoned him? I doubt it. Maybe it happened. Did he go to see his parents later on? I don't know. What is his name? Leslie? You read it in the paper. It's on your paper. Leslie Owen. Heard name, I wondered. It's between Jordan. Well, it's not very far from Helen Keller. He's not that much younger than Helen Keller, but they're pretty close in age. Yes. Last time when he passed away, when was it? 1971. He passed away in 1971. He was born in the late 1890s. Any other questions? Linda? You know, remember she could, you know, walk and went swimming and everything, horseback running, deaf-blind girl that went to our church, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I really admired her. Linda McNair Sting. She was a deaf-blind girl, was a member of our church. And she went swimming and horseback riding and did all these things. And there's one more interesting thing before I go on with this presentation. Helen Keller said to all of the world that deafness was the worst handicap. But on the other hand, Leslie Orrin himself said that blindness was the worst handicap. Carol, there were two sides of the story. I would say that is debatable.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know. I didn't read it for myself, so I don't even know if she really did say that, but I was told that. And I just thought it was an interesting comment.
I remember reading her autobiography that she wrote herself, and it's very thick, and she did say that. But I think she said that because she learned language so late in life. And at the time she was growing up, people, she did not know that many deaf people, so she really did not have a chance to communicate with anyone except for her teacher. And I think, and her teacher was, you know, like the between for the world. And so I think she felt like if she could have just gone directly to the world and communicated that way, she would have felt more comfortable. But she always had to have an interpreter with her. And so maybe that's why she felt hindered by that. 1923, when I went to school in Kansas, this little girl named Helen Mae Martin, and she would play the piano, and she was deaf and blind. Do you know who she was? Played for the hearing people, and she would sit and play the piano really beautifully. And she was just a wonderful pianist. We're going to talk about blindness also. But now, there are many different disabilities. We're going to just set those aside for a minute. We're just going to focus on deafness and blindness at this time, as talked about in the scriptures. Not all the church is deaf. Some are hearing members. Like Kathy, some are hard of hearing. Four, deaf and blind. One is here, James Nickerson. Others, Ken Sting, Seattle. Charlotte Holzinger of Everett is partially blind, has very limited sight. And the fourth one is Dan Bruin in Tacoma. And one is legally blind person and is a hearing man, and that's Mr. French. Dan Mansfield, no, he's beautiful sign. Signs beautifully. He's a deafblind man. No, it's Calvary Temple. The new deafblind man, he's really nice, named John. I forgot his last name. From Tacoma, he moved to Tacoma. John Carlson. Mm-hmm. He sees fine, but he has glaucoma, and he's slowly approaching blindness. He had surgery and hope that sight will be restored completely. So, is he a member of the Tacoma Church? Yes. Yes, he's a Lutheran. John Carlson. There are many have glaucoma that need your prayers, deaf people that have glaucoma. So go ahead and read about the type of blindnesses and what they are in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 through 20. No. They heard God's word, but they still were deaf to it. That means they really did not understand it, so they were spiritually deaf. They saw God's handiwork, but they seemed to be blind to his work, and they neglected or forgot about it, the fact that he was responsible for things. Then we read in another verse, and it's in the book of Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. She says that maybe he means by that that people like that are, even his own children are not perfect, that all people have sin and are spiritually blind and deaf. We are blind and deaf, even as Christians. We're not perfect. Okay. What's that? Isaiah, go on and read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. A good example. Some of you students in secular schools, university, like the University of Washington, have had the Bible read as one of various books or in classes of literature or so forth. And you've read, you've understood, and you've answered the questions regularly, and you get an A. But you never believed it. They never believed in God or in Jesus Christ. And that's happening. That happens to many. They read through the scriptures, and yet they don't understand it. We see God at work, but still they're blind to his handiwork. Now we go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13, verses 14, 15, and then chapter 15, verses 15, chapter 15, verse 14. Okay. Matthew 13, 14, 15 is taken from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. You know the Old Testament by heart. Who knows that verse by heart? And Matthew 15 and 14, it's really sad. Why? People don't know what they're talking about. Then try to tell people how to follow people and the blind for leading the blind. Well, but why? What makes that so sad? Let's see what you said. What? Okay. I didn't hear you either. That's okay. What was sad about it? Their stubbornness, the stubbornness of the Jews, or the people of that time. Jesus preached the scriptures to declare his love, but they refused to believe. And that led Jesus to say, okay, I'm just going to leave you alone. And the deaf had to blame, no one to blame but themselves. The spiritually deaf had no one to blame but themselves. Why? What did they do wrong? How come they hadn't learned their lesson? It's very sad when Jesus himself said that. What was it? It's terrible. It's like in the case of my husband, his stubbornness. They were stubborn. Sometimes he gets so stubborn, you know, I just say, well, fine, take care of yourself. You know, that's wrong. But Jesus talked about their refusal to believe in him. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and read John 9, 35 to 41. Chapter 9, 35 to 41, John. Somebody asked about the reference. Yesterday you read John chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. And what happened? Jesus' disciples saw a blind man. and he'd been blind for a long time. The followers nudged Jesus, and they said, "What is the man guilty of? Did he that caused him to sin? Was it he himself, or did his parents sin that caused his blindness?" And what was the Jesus' response? Want to make him up? No. Well, what was his response to his disciples? He said, "No. It wasn't his fault, and not his parents' fault." And now we read in John 9. It's really long, chapter 9, John 9, 35 to 41. But this is that Jesus healed this man so that he could see. And then this man went and met with the Jewish leaders. And they said, "Who made you to see?" And he said, "I don't know, just someone made me to see." "Did he do it today?" "Yeah." Boy, were they angry. They were really cross because it was the day of the Sabbath. It was a holy day. And they said Jesus had... But then later on, when he met Jesus, he believed in Jesus. And then he came and found the Jewish leaders. They said, "Yes, it was that man Jesus." And there was this terrible argument with the Jewish leaders. But Jesus performed this miracle. And only God can do these things. And these leaders refused to believe. And Jesus responded to them, "You are blind. You are truly blind. You are the ones that are blind." What did he mean?
Spiritual blindness.
They were spiritually blind.
Oh, you talked.
Oh, okay. What? She said they were spiritually blind, the Jewish leaders. They were spiritually blind. There's, you know, this man can see. You can see, yeah. What does it mean, spiritually blind? I refuse to believe in Jesus. They were spiritually blind. And that same is true today for all unbelievers, deaf and normal, or hearing people, even blind people. Even no matter what physical handicap, if you refuse to believe, you are spiritually, if you believe, you're spiritually hearing. Let's see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. With you. I'd like you to share what happened to this Jewish woman. Okay. Well, I was watching TBN one time, and this Jewish woman talked, and she'd become a Christian. And she said when she accepted Christ as her Savior, she literally had scales fall off her eyes. And that for the first time she could understand Jesus and his love, and that he really was true God, the Son of God. Until that time, she was completely blind to what God had for her as a person. And I thought that was interesting. It really showed spiritual blindness, in like he's talking about, that really happened. She said she literally saw the scales fall off her eyes when she accepted Christ. It's interesting. There are many people that love sin, not only hearing people, but also deaf and also unsaved blind people. They are spiritually ignorant or have spiritual ignorance, and they have a love for sin. I don't know if that's happened to you, but if that was, you would not have eternal life. But how can you help these people? Well, go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. What is the remedy for spiritual blindness? For the spiritually blind or deaf? Who cares to answer?
Salvation.
What is the cure for spiritual blindness and deafness?
It's the Christian's responsibility to witness set the Christian example in the things that they do?
Well, okay, here's another response.
Salvation.
People are deaf or blind or any handicap. They know suffering. They die. They go to heaven. And then they can hear. Their ears are open. No, they're not waiting to get in heaven.
Accepting Jesus as their Savior.
Accepting someone. Now. Talking about this now. What about now? Through prayer? Language. And about Jesus. About Jesus. She said accepting Jesus as personal Savior by faith. And that's the perfect answer. Blessed are the eyes of those that see Jesus and believe in Him. Talks about Jesus and believe in Him in a personal way. In the Old Testament, they never saw Him, and yet they believed. And that was their joy. In the same way, you and I too have never seen Jesus in person. And yet we believe. Because we see His Word. Hearing people know His Word. It's the same. Believe, you know, the group of people, it's hard to accept. Well, they don't talk about that here, about health. That's, you know, deafness problem. But I'd like to explain. Talking about spiritual deafness and spiritual blindness. Now we're going to go on and read John chapter 6, verses 40, and chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Now you and I, who are deaf, need not be depressed or sorry for ourselves. Not only because we can enjoy life, as some people who are deaf still enjoy life, also feel sorry for them, but we can even more are more blessed. And why? Why are we blessed? Because we are Christians? Because we are Christians. Right. What's more? Because we are blessed. Because we know the Holy Spirit dwells within us, in our lives, and lives with us to bless us. Are you saved by the Holy Spirit? By the Trinity. So, the Holy Bible and God all save us. Well, yes. It's getting closer to the point. You're approaching it. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have seen and believe in Me. You know, we haven't seen Jesus personally, but we believe. We have never heard Him talk personally, but we believe in Jesus. Now, you and I are not spiritually blind or deaf. We are not. Because we believe in Jesus. Jesus has promised to give us eternal life. The minute we accept Him. Are there any questions or comments? Tell the story about blind, deaf, or any handicap. When they die, they go to heaven. Will their eyes be open and they'll be able to hear? Not talking about physical blindness or disability. Spiritual blindness. Spiritual. What do you mean by spiritual? You can see, you're here because you've accepted Jesus Christ, right? When you die and you believe in Jesus, you will be able to see and hear because you'll be in heaven. Physically able to see and hear in heaven. We're talking about spiritual blindness. If you did not believe in Jesus, you would be both physically and spiritually deaf. Well, what about people that are born deaf and blind? We'll discuss that a little bit before, but not right now. But the subject is this, spiritual blindness and deafness. What about Jesus' work? Read in Mark chapter 7, verses 31-37. You know, I read it yesterday in the Vespers service last night. Yeah, Mark 7, 31-37. Okay. And Mark 7, 31-37. It's one of my favorite passages. Has been for more, for this reason. I liked what Jesus did. He gave a wonderful demonstration. Do not know how to deal with a deaf person. Some people would say that Jesus was very ahead of time, very ahead of his time. But it was because he himself was God. He knew exactly what to do. So nothing was impossible with God. It meant that he had no problem with this deaf man. And I can show you many hearing people. You know, deaf, you know, some are hearing, some are deaf. Can I make you well? What would happen? He said, okay, I'll make you well. So open your hearing. And you became a hearing person. But still, would you be spiritually blessed or not? Not spiritually blessed, no. Why? If I made her well, would she be spiritually blessed? After I answered your desire? What? She would be physically blessed, but not necessarily spiritually blessed. Yours are open, but still, she might be lost. Why? Okay, I thought you were going to sign for yourself. Okay, that's okay, I'll sign for you. Also, the same thing that happened to the blind man in John chapter 7 that we read about. Or John chapter 9, I think it means. Anyway, told him he saw, and yet he didn't know who had made him to see. You know, and when he realized it was Jesus, that man, he said, oh yes, that man. Jesus didn't want him to have physical healing only, but he also wanted this man to have spiritual healing. And Jesus knew this man had a problem. Okay, so now think that you and I could make him well. Don't think you and I can make him well. You get no credit. I'm just playing. Remember this. I'm blind. Okay. No, I don't know him. Pretend he's Jesus. Jesus touched this deaf man's ears. Knew him? He couldn't hear. Now he's changing him to a hearing man. Anyway, he had not been able to talk all his life. Touched his ears. What was his problem? Jesus used sign language. Why are people against signs when Jesus himself uses it? Why are there people against signs? And then he says, and he used sign language. Jesus signed. He put spit on his hands and touched his lips. You use more signage? You went, well, maybe it tasted awful. You know, I don't suggest you do this. It might have been grimy. Use a little bit of mud from the ground. And then Jesus looked up into heaven, and the deaf man felt awkward. He looked up into heaven to see what was there. He gave him an idea that, the you know, this cure came from God. And he gave this deaf man, you know, we look around, we try to grasp things. What does it do to us, right? Well, also, during Jesus' time, and then Jesus said one word, Ephatha. Ephatha. That means be opened. His ears were open, and his tongue was loosened, and he was able to talk and hear. And he looks at Jesus, and knows that God had given him the power to hear and to speak. You know, as Stephen, he really understood, because Jesus had given him and used sign language before he healed him. And he healed him not only physically, but spiritually. And he was anxious to hear and learn more about Jesus. And he himself became a believer in Jesus. And that's really what happened. Well, really, you know, it's unfair the time that we have. You know, Jesus isn't even here now. It's unfair. There's so many that could be healed today. And don't complain. After you die, we will be healed. I tell you, Jesus has never stopped healing people. He still heals. Jesus has never stopped healing people. Just because Jesus died on the cross and rose again and then ascended to heaven doesn't mean that his power has stopped. Jesus is still at work today, changing lives, healing people. Look at Keiko. Look at me. Look at Pastor. Jesus is still working today. He never stops. He is always, always healing and changing people's lives.